Good evening, church. Thank you, Chad, for those songs. I want to begin by asking a question. You know, you just kind of run through your mind and evaluate this and answer this. And the question is, what can a person do that really discourages you? What can a person do that really discourages you? Now, there may be a number of things that have gone through your mind. Maybe you made the list. But I want to zero in on one of those. And one of the things that a person can do that really brings about, can really bring about discouragement if we allow it to do so, and that is criticism. Have you ever received criticism? Sometimes people talk about constructive criticism. Well, I'm telling you, you just can't take constructive criticism. But I'm here to tell you this evening that a lot of what people refer to as constructive criticism is not constructive at all. It's not constructive in tone. It's not constructive in words. It's not constructive in attitude. It's not constructive in the manner in which it is delivered. You notice many times that people offer criticism. Maybe they criticize something in your life. Maybe they criticize something to the elders. Maybe they criticize some work. But you can pretty well take this across the board, that those who are in this mode of criticism and criticizing usually do not have anything to offer as a better alternative. Well, you're criticizing this. What do you have? Well, I don't have anything, but I'm just here to tell you what I'm thinking. That's not constructive criticism. And I think all of us would agree that criticism is hard to take. So since there are people who are sometimes very free about being critical and criticizing, then it falls on us to regroup and to begin to think, how can I handle criticism in a positive way? Because 9 times out of 10 is going to come across negative. It's always going to be something that is negative. And there's not going to be any pluses that follow. There's not going to be any better alternatives that are offered. So that puts us in a position in our own mind, in our own thinking, and in our own attitude. Okay, how can I handle criticism in a positive way? That is, I make it positive for me. I make it positive for me. One of the ways is, first of all, realize that a certain amount of criticism is inevitable. It is going to come. It doesn't make any difference what you do or how hard you try or how you adjust. A certain amount of criticism is just inevitable. Look at the life and ministry of Jesus. You know, in Matthew chapter 9, here comes the religious leaders. They're all puffed up. And they criticize Jesus for eating with tax collectors and sinners. And then you go a little bit further in Matthew chapter 12, and here they come again, and they are carefully scrutinizing what Jesus is doing, and they offer that criticism for healing on the Sabbath. So if Jesus did not escape criticism, certainly we will not escape criticism as we live our lives for Jesus. Certain amount of it is inevitable. It's going to come. You've probably heard Aesop's fable. Aesop's fable is about a father and a son and a donkey, and they're taking a trip. And as they go on this trip, the father and son are walking. And somebody comes along and criticizes, why are you walking? Yeah, when you've got a donkey you can ride. Okay. So the father puts his son on the donkey and they continue their trip. And somebody comes along and criticizes and says to the son, how can you be riding the donkey when your poor father is walking? So they change places. Now the father is riding. The son is walking. And they meet somebody that chastises the father. You're up there riding, and here your little boy is down here walking on this trip. So they both get on the donkey. And they come to a person who criticizes them for overloading this poor donkey. I mean, you can't win. You can't win. A certain amount of criticism is inevitable. It doesn't make any difference what you do or how you try to be or how you try to adjust. Somebody's going to come along and offer their bit of criticism. And the point of this is that we cannot please everybody. That's exactly what the son and the father tried to do in Aesop's fable. They tried to please everybody. Well, we'll just please these people as they criticize. But the point of that is that you cannot please everybody. And if you and I are pleasing everybody, we need to take a reality check. Because Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 26, woe to you when all men speak well of you. Oh, I think that's great. Everybody's just speaking well of me. But Jesus says, woe unto you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. It's not really a good thing if everybody is just on your bandwagon, if everybody's just speaking well of you. And Jesus says it's a woe. Woe unto you if everyone is speaking well of you. Because that's what their fathers did with the false prophets. They were speaking well of the false prophets. And zero in on that word woe. A simple English Bible says horrible. Horrible. The contemporary English version says, you're in trouble when they all speak well of you. J.B. Phillips says, it is a miserable thing when they all speak well of you. Because, you know, we look at the words of Jesus and realize that trying to please everybody gets us into trouble. And the fact is that you cannot please everybody. So when we go about trying to please, who is at the top of the list? God. That's our purpose. That's what we're trying to do. That's how we're living. our purpose is to please God. If we're going to please anybody, first and foremost, it is to please God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9, we make it our aim. It is our purpose. We make it our aim to be well-pleasing in His sight. One time a preacher said, he said, I'm not here to please the brethren. He says, I'm here to please God. And I hope the brethren like it. That's getting things in perspective. We cannot please everybody. But we must make it our aim and our ambition above all to be doing those things and living that kind of life that pleases God. Because in the final analysis, when we have that reality check, He's the only one that really counts. He is the judge. He is the decider. He's the one we're going to face at the end. And we make it our aim, we make it our ambition to be well-pleasing in His sight. So first of all, in trying to handle criticism in a positive way, we just realize, you know, it's inevitable, it's going to come. It's going to come, and I've already decided that I can't please everybody. And my main ambition is to please God. But secondly, in handling criticism, you really have to ask yourself the question, can I profit? Here's someone that comes along and they offer this bit of criticism, and they always put it in the context of constructive criticism. But being honest with ourselves, we have to ask ourselves, is there anything in that criticism that I can learn from? I mean, is this person really offering me something that if I evaluate it, I can learn from it? Because it's a mistake just to assume that all criticism is an error. It's a mistake to just push that aside and say, well, listen, you know, the person's wrong. They don't know what they're talking about. They are in error. So if we're going to handle that in a positive way, we must be asking ourselves the question, is there anything I can learn from this? Is there any bit of truth, particle of truth, in what that person is saying? And so it comes to the manner of examining the criticism to see if there's any truth in it, to see if there's anything helpful in it. Because the proverb writer said in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 8, do not correct a scoffer lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. It is to evaluate what is said. It is to evaluate what is presented to us. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? There may be some truth in what that person is saying. You know, I don't know about you. I don't know why I do it. But every morning I get up and I look in the mirror. And the mirror just says, you look bad. You know, you got the hair. You look terrible. Well, I don't smash the mirror. And that's what our attitude, we're going to handle this in a positive way. It is to be honest with ourselves and sit down and evaluate and say, okay, are they telling me something true? You know, it was said of the Mayo brothers that they took all criticism. They took all criticism. Can you imagine that? You know, the Mayo brothers, the founders of the Mayo Clinic, they took all criticism. And what they did is they sorted out what was true, what was false. They disregarded the false, and they tried to learn from the true. That's what we need to do in criticism. In handling it in a positive way, is there anything in what the person is saying? Is there anything that's true? Is there anything in what they're saying that I can learn from? And then thirdly, let not your good be evil spoken of. That's found in Romans chapter 14 and verse 16, and that'll be the King James Version. Let not your good be evil spoken of. Well, what's the point? What is he saying? People need to, sometimes criticism comes from simply a misunderstanding or misinformation on the part of the person who comes with the criticism. And when they come, they realize, well, I didn't understand that. I was misinformed in that. And I'm just coming to you with this criticism with misinformation. They just didn't understand. They were misinformed. They weren't up to speed on what you were trying to do and what was going on. So in handling that criticism, it is to do our best that others understand what we are trying to do. That there will not be any misunderstanding. That there will not be any misinformation. And let me say that this to you this evening, that many times that misunderstanding and that misinformation comes because the criticizer has been talking to everybody else, has been doing this. And so that has caused the misinformation, that has caused the misunderstanding. And so because the person hasn't been talking to you, they've been talking to everybody else, they come and they just criticize out of something that they completely do not understand and that they have been misinformed about. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 21 says, providing honorable things, not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of men. That is, we must do our best that people understand what we are trying to do. That they are not misinformed in this manner, and that they come with criticism. And sometimes when you start doing things, sometimes people come with the thinking, and they may not come to the person, but in their mind they criticize, and just, you know, it's the kind of criticism that says, if you're not doing what I'm doing, then you must not be doing anything in the kingdom of God. Well, there's certainly some misinformation there, and there's some misunderstanding there. Because there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes that you may, if you want to have a critical spirit, well, I wonder what that person is doing. I wonder what they're doing. I wonder, you know, I never see them doing what I'm doing, Byron. I mean, it just, they must not be doing anything. That's out of misunderstanding and misinformation and really being insensitive. But to turn that into a positive thing, it is to do our best that others understand what we are doing, so there will not be the misunderstanding and the misinformation. Third point on this, or maybe the fourth point on this, is when that criticism comes, there can be a knee-jerk reaction. And maybe you've been there. I don't know. But you get the criticism. It's not constructive. It doesn't come across in a... It's not constructive in the attitude. It's not constructive in the words, in how it's presented. And it comes in such a way that in your mind you say, okay, I'm just not doing anything. If this is how people are going to respond when I try to work and I try to do something in the kingdom of God, I'm just not going to do anything. Well, the fourth point is, don't stop doing good. Do not allow criticism to cause you to give up and quit. Well, I just quit. There's too many passages of Scripture. Titus chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul writes to Titus and he says, you remind the people and you keep on reminding the people to be ready unto every good work. They just keep on working. Titus chapter 3 and verse 8, I want you to affirm constantly that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. And all of that is present tense. It's continuous. You keep on maintaining good works. You keep on keeping on. Titus chapter 3 verse 14. Let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. That's four times. That's three times in Titus alone. And then you move to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, that we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared that we may walk in them. So when the criticism comes, whatever it is, as you evaluate it and look at it, and maybe you decide it's all false. Maybe you decide there's some bit and pieces in there that it's true, and I'm going to take the true part. I'm going to learn from it. But in all of that, do not stop doing good. Do not quit. Do not give up. Someone said this. To avoid criticism. Now, this is a sure formula. To avoid criticism, do nothing, say nothing, and be nothing. That's a sure formula, I guess. Unless somebody comes by and criticizes you for doing nothing, saying nothing, and being nothing. But that's pretty much the mindset. I've got this criticism. I don't need it. I can't take it. I can't handle it. So I'm just going to do nothing, and I'm just going to say nothing. I'm just going to be nothing. But think about this. Here's another way of handling this in a positive way. And that is, people who are criticized are people who are doing something. They're doing something. People see them doing, and whatever they're doing, or maybe how they're doing it, or the way they're doing it, they come up and criticize. People who receive criticism are about the business of doing something. And then fifthly, turn this matter over to God in prayer. Have you had that moment of criticism where all you could think of was, this is unfair, this is unjust, this is not true? Who does that person think he or she is? And you have all of these thoughts that go through your mind that is not working in a positive way for you, it's working in a negative way for you. And the response to the criticism is to turn the matter over to God. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, we've heard that so many times, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Certainly this would be feeling like that we've been criticized unjustly would certainly be a care that we need to turn over to God. It's a burden. God, I can't carry this. It's too much of a load. And that we cast all of our cares upon Him because He cares for us and He'll gladly take it. And bear that thing with us. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, underline the word everything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. How to handle criticism in a positive way. Accept a certain amount of criticism as inevitable. It's going to come. Number two, examine criticism to see if there is any truth in it. And if you find some truth in it, we learn from it. Number three, do your best to eliminate misunderstanding and misinformation. Number four, do not stop doing good. Do not allow the criticizer to cause you to give up and quit. And then number five, turn the matter over to God in prayer. You know, the strength that we have in all of this, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I mean, whatever the trial, whatever the discomfort, whatever the negative ism that comes our way, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He will be our strength in all of those moments. And so as we extend the invitation this evening, we always want to extend that gospel invitation because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And if we would have one among us this evening that needs to respond in obedience to the gospel of Christ, that you might do that. Just as they did in the first century, believing in Jesus as the Son of God, He is the Messiah. And that belief was so strong it would bring repentance, a changed life, a changed heart, and a willingness to confess, not being shy, not being afraid. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And upon that confession, to be buried in the watery grave of baptism, to arise to walk in newness of life. It may be as a brother or sister in Christ that you need 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you need brothers and sisters in Christ who will pray with you on that to fortify you, to strengthen you. And we just ask you to come as together we stand and sing. Be